In Afghanistan, schools for girls lie directly on the front lines of the war against the Taliban. Almost every week, girls' schools are bombed and burned. The Taliban oppose education for girls as un-Islamic. And under the Taliban regime between 1996 and 2001, girls weren't permitted to attend school in Afghanistan. Now, girls' schools are allowed. But they don't all have access to education, especially those who live in areas controlled by the Taliban. In part three of our series, Charles Sennett travels to Afghanistan to try to revisit a girls' school that he reported on a couple of years ago. It was set up by an American couple.
Bye-bye! Bye-bye, everybody! Thank you!
Thank you!
I love you!
That's Sally Goodrich in April 2007, as she waved goodbye to a girls' school in Logar province, just outside Kabul. I was with Sally on that visit, the first time she had seen the school in session, and I witnessed the optimism in the young girls' faces, which were framed by their white headscarves. They were devout Muslims, at last getting the education they deserved. It was only 2 years ago, but it was a very different time, a time when hope seemed to outweigh fear.
I hate to leave. Oh my gosh. This country has to stay safe. We hope for the good.
Sally did more than hope for good. She raised some $400,000 to build this school in honor of her son, Peter. He was killed on September 11th aboard the second plane that struck the World Trade Center. Sally's a school teacher from Vermont, and for 5 years she and her husband, Don, have developed a close bond with this small village in the Mohammed Aga district, where she's come to think of the village elder, or Malik, and his clan as family. They supported her in her efforts to build the school. She says the village leaders, Haji Malik and his brother Kadal Khan, and the students who attend the school have given her life back after the loss of her son.
Everything that Kadal Khan and Haji Malik did was antithetical to the Taliban regime which preceded the invasion by Americans. When I was there, we were there, it was this a moment of hope and expectation.
But in March this year, the village was raided by the U.S. military in the dead of night. Haji Malik and Kadal Khan, along with the other men and their families, were bundled off to a prison at the Bagram Air Base, where they were fingerprinted, photographed, and interrogated. U.S. military officials say the Taliban is in control of the village, and that it was using the school to hold meetings at night. The U.S. military found a cache of weapons there, including assault rifles, landmines, and material to make roadside bombs. Haji Malik was released, but his son and brother, Kadal Khan, are still being held for allegedly providing support to the Taliban.
I didn't believe the news. I thought that it was just a classic error. It wasn't that I couldn't conceive of them accommodating the Taliban. I could conceive of that. The idea that they have completely sold out. I mean, how does that work, Charlie? You know, I mean, it just doesn't fit in my brain.
Sally and Don flew to Afghanistan. At that point, they were certain the U.S. had based the arrests on flawed intelligence. But then they sat down with Brigadier General Michael Ryan. He spread the classified intelligence documents and evidence before them. Don and Sally left convinced that the Afghan men they had come to know as friends were indeed complicit with the Taliban.
I'm getting up from the table, leaning toward him, and I said, you know, these men have given me back my life. And he was leaning toward me and said, and they are taking the lives of my troops. They are taking the lives of my men. And you know what? So where am I? I am in a position where I cannot have contact, cannot support the school for the moment, this moment in time, and maybe never again. Because I am an American. You know, that's why Peter was killed on that plane. You know, I am who I am. They are who they are. We all get to make our decisions, and we all have to live with them. But, you know, there's great loss. There's great loss for me, for them. I just don't see anybody coming out a winner in this. Just not at all.
The Logar province has become extraordinarily dangerous. On the main road into the province, a reporter for the New York Times was kidnapped and escaped last month after 7 months of captivity. Four Western Aid workers have been killed on that road. Four girls' schools burned in just a few months. It was a no-go zone for Sally and me. But I had to know if the girls' school was open. So I hired a local cameraman to shoot video of the school. The footage showed a trickle of students filing in the early morning, about 20% of the students who had been there 2 years earlier. The principal, we were told, had been facing death threats and was not there on this day. I managed to reach village elder Haji Malik by phone and arrange a meeting in Kabul to challenge him with the evidence that he and his family had collaborated with the Taliban.
I'm a Muslim, I'm proud of it. But I'm not Talib. In the eye of Americans, probably, we look like a Talib. But I'm not. We are not. And this is a conspiracy from our enemy, by our enemy. They are trying to damage us.
In a long interview, Haji Malik insisted the U.S. military was duped with false information by enemies of the family who resent that they have built the girls' school. He insisted his son and brother are innocent.
Talibans are narrow-minded people. They don't believe in the freedom for women. They don't believe in education. They don't believe in development. They cannot deliver services. We need roads, we need clinics, we need schools. 16 of our female kids are going to the school. They are taking classes in the school in our village. So how can I take sides with Taliban, who are against this?
The more I delved into the layers of this story, the more confusing it became. It seemed possible that Haji Malik's brother and son had undertaken a classically Afghan deal. They would support the Taliban in order to keep the girls' school open. For Awatullah Wahajir, the Deputy Minister of Education, it's a plausible explanation.
Yeah, it happens. In many provinces, it happens that the Maliks, the community people, they go to Taliban and say, look, we know you have a problem, we know you are going to fight, we know you are going all those things, but we don't care. We want our children to be educated. So you help us in that. In response, we are not going to create problems for you. You do your own business, but let our children get education.
Wahajir had been exiled from his country by the Taliban, his younger brother kidnapped by them and held for ransom. He calls the Taliban who attack schools worse than animals. And yet he believes Malik could be right in striking a deal with them if it means keeping the girls' school open.
Even if he is a Talib, even if he is keeping Taliban in his home, even if his son is Talib, the positive aspect is that at least they are convinced that girls' education is important. And if all Taliban agree to this, then at least we will have education free of politics. We will be able to establish girls' schools everywhere in this country. So that is the positive aspect of it. And we will encourage all Talibs to do that.
Female literacy in Afghanistan stands at a staggering low 5%, and education is the future for the country. No one believes that more than Sally Goodrich and her husband Don. But both felt the school they funded should close for now. They couldn't have known how prescient were their words. The next morning, Sally and Don awoke to news of a horrific bombing in Logar on the road into the school. It was just last week, and 25 people were reported killed, including 13 elementary school students. It's believed that all of the young victims were from the families that attend the school. Don and Sally were devastated, and for Don, it was another example of the difficult challenges in Afghanistan.
Our strategy in Afghanistan is on the brink of failure if it hasn't already failed, that we had a huge opportunity that we felt that we were a part of. And the surging towards a different life for the Afghan people is gone. And I think it's gone because we did not understand the culture. We did not stand by some of the promises that we made. And I don't think we understand who to trust. And, you know, whether we can pull it back is doubtful to me.
I thought of the school and the families and the students and how they'd get on after the bombing. Inside the principal's office, there is still a photograph of Peter, the Goodrich's son, and a copy of the Quran he studied and marked with post-it notes. Peter was a software engineer, but he had a passion for studying religion and understanding all faiths.
Peter approached all religions with this very open-minded, non-judgmental, all-inclusive, I want to formulate my own sense of spirituality. And I want to take what is good from Christianity, from Judaism, and even from Islam. And you know what? I feel the same way now. I mean, really, there's much that is good in Islam. I'm not going to let the Taliban interpret Islam, and it would be a grave injustice to Islam.
For the world, this is Charles Sennett, Kabul.
You can hear Charles Sennett's original report on that girls' school at theworld.org. That's also the place to find pictures of the school and more information about our series on the Taliban. Tomorrow, Charles Sennett wraps up our series by talking to former Taliban leaders. He also reports on the U.S. military struggle to understand the Taliban.
If there's Achilles' heel in our so-called PSYOP information operation strategy, it's our misunderstanding of religion. I think as Americans, we're hesitant to get into it. And when we do get into it, it seems to backfire.
Our series on the Taliban is a co-production with GlobalPost.com.